The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you.
Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, "If you remain in my word, you will be truly be my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." But they answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How can you say you will become free?" And Jesus answered them and said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, everyone who commits a sin is a slave of sin. A slave does not remain in the household forever, but a son, but it always remains a son. So if the Son sets you free, then you will be truly free. I know that you are descendants of Abraham, but you are trying to kill me, because my word has no room among you. And I tell you what I have seen in my Father's presence. Then do what you have heard from the Father." Jesus, they answered and said to him, "Our father is Abraham." And Jesus said to them, If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works of Abraham. But now you are trying to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You are doing the works of your father." They said to him, "We were not born of fornication. We have one father, God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God, and I am here. I did not come on my own, but he sent me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The readings today, well, first of all, we're going through John chapter 8 here just before Holy Week begins, and we see Jesus getting into increasing conflict with the religious authorities and also in general the Jewish people in Jerusalem, we see him headed for trouble. That's kind of what the church is presenting to us as we go through this, John chapter 8. With that in mind, maybe to kind of focus it a little bit on what we also are going through, in recent times, there is a also this first reading of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and we have a they're into conflict with the king and King Nebuchadnezzar, and this Babylonian king is angry that they're not worshiping his gods, and he throws them into the furnace, as you heard in this reading. Now, there is this conflict that they are having with, if you will, the authorities of their day, and likewise Jesus. With this in mind, I'd like to suggest to you that we ponder for a moment the problem of martyrdom. What is it, that leads to martyrdom? Well, generally, again, it's living in contradistinction to the world around us and thereby suffering persecution. Now, we in modern-day America experience very little martyrdom in the sense of people actually being put to death for their faith. We're beginning to experience a bit more persecution, but there are people in the world who do suffer martyrdom in many parts of the world. And martyrdom may be in the sense of arrest and imprisonment, but also the ultimate martyrdom of being put to death. We just need to note that this still goes on in the world to a greater degree than most of us are aware. There's several websites that actually track martyrdom throughout the world, and they're full of data. You can see these things. We may not always be aware of these things, and yet they do go on. But here in America, what is our situation? Where are we headed? And then again, I don't claim to be a prophet, but I, like you, can perhaps maybe ponder some of the signs of the time. And that is to say that I would say that there is a groundwork that has been laid for increasing persecution of the church, which I think will probably intensify in the years to come. We're increasingly finding ourselves at odds with what I call a world gone mad. You know, some of us, if not most of us in this chapel, are old enough to remember a time when, regarding basic cultural and moral values, there was basic agreement in this country. We basically had agreement on the fact that, and I'm not saying everybody lived these things perfectly, what I'm about to say to you, but we had a basic agreement on the right and wrongness. For example, that sex before marriage was inappropriate, that homosexual activity was not appropriate, that euthanasia, that is to say, killing people when they were, before they, died, was not appropriate, abortion was unthinkable, and so on. There was a time when we had basic agreement on these, and in a very rapid way, agreement on these important moral issues and many others besides has broken down, and so that there is a great deal of anger disagreement over these matters. Now, increasingly, though, we're seeing the world become more strident in its demands to, in effect, I will do what I want to do, and no one will tell me, no one is permitted to tell me that what I am doing is wrong. Because then I am offended and I am upset, and I have a right not to be offended and not to be upset and not to be questioned. And how dare you? And this is where I believe we begin to see a doorway opened into increasing persecution against the church, because you see, it is one of the enshrined values of our American way has been that we ought to have free discourse and we ought to have, quote, freedom of speech. Not in an absolute sense, but a very broad sense that we ought to be able to say this is what I think and not be arrested, not be thrown in jail, not be excoriated for it. People can disagree with us publicly as well. So this has been our tradition, but increasingly you're beginning to see that there are very, very strong limits being set on what people are permitted to say. Religious discussions are increasingly being banished from the public square. Notions that that we are permitted even to condemn certain behaviors are declared to be intolerant. And increasingly, the so-called, and I said so-called, intolerance is being increasingly considered something that ought to almost be limited by law. Now you say, well, wait a minute, what are you talking about? Well, not in this particular country yet, but not far from here, across the border in Canada, there are at least two Canadian bishops who have been brought up on charges. And I believe one of them was actually a priest, not a bishop. Charges of intolerance and hate crimes because they declared that homosexual marriage was wrong, and they've actually had to go to court and answer charges. Now I don't know where both those cases are at this point. You say, oh well, that's going to be thrown out. No, it's made its way quite along. But the precedent begins to be set that the world will increasingly go to war against the church, because we dare to question certain behaviors and certain things. You see, what I'm trying to show you is that we, like Jesus, if we are faithful, are finding ourselves in increasing conflict with the world around us.
Yes.
And there was a time in Jesus' life where he was much more popular up in Galilee, up in the north, where he was much more popular. But as he edged north, south toward Jerusalem, he began to run into increasing conflict. And the church, too. I think there was a time when generally the church was much more appreciated and understood, and now increasingly excoriated and hated as, if you will, the world changes around us. So I want to simply say to you that what ought we to do in a case like this, where we're experiencing this? Well, first of all, do not accept the label intolerant. Simply because you question something does not mean you are refusing to tolerate. It means that you're questioning it. Let me explain to you in a kind of example. I was having a discussion recently in a group of people with about the question of abortion, and one of the people in the group said, "I generally have to say that I'm personally against abortion, but I I just don't want to be intolerant of other people, and some of them make, we all have to make our own decisions about this, and I just don't want to be intolerant. And so I said, well, you've accepted the ruse that you're intolerant. Now, let me ask you a couple questions, and I'm shortening a longer discussion here. Basically I said, what if someone were to come and say, well, you know, gosh darn it, I don't like Mexican people. I find them inconvenient. There's too many of them, and I think it's okay to kill them. And you were to say, well, I don't agree with that. Would you think of yourself as being intolerant? Well, no. I said, well, okay. I want you to try to think of abortion in the same way. A human being is dying, and it is a horrible and a tragic thing. And to say that we're against it does not make us intolerant. We're simply speaking what we ought to say, which is there's something wrong about this. Or, a member of my family is beginning to upset me, so I think I'm going to kill them. How say you? Well, you know, we would speak up, of course you can't do that. And we wouldn't think of ourselves as being intolerant. But it's interesting how, when it comes to the matter of abortion, even we Christians and Catholics sometimes accept the label that somehow, because we question it, or indicate that it's wrong, that we're intolerant. So the first thing I simply want to say to you is, do not accept the label of being intolerant simply because you stand against some moral issues of the day. Now, granted, the issue of abortion is very, it's very complicated for some people. They struggle mightily to bring children to term, and there are. I don't mean to say we should be uncompassionate for the struggles that people have. I doubt that most women choose abortion simply glibly. Oh, I think I'll just go get an abortion. I think that it is a horrifying and difficult situation that they're in. So I don't mean to say that we should have no compassion. But to simply say that we're supposed to yield and say, well, okay, I'm not going to question this because I want to be tolerant, is a problematic approach for us. And too often we easily accept the judgment of the world on us. And I would simply say, don't accept the judgment. Now, but another thing, as I say, is I think the second thing I want to say to you is that how to deal with this increasing persecution that I think we're going to experience is, just accept that it's going to happen. Don't flee from it. Don't run from it. In fact, accept it as exactly what Jesus said would happen. If you were of the world, Jesus said in the Gospels, the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I have called you out of the world, therefore the world will hate you. Now again, unfortunately, many people, and we all struggle with this, you know, in terms of our own ego. But sometimes when we experience hatred or rebuke, we think, oh my gosh, I've done something wrong. And it doesn't necessarily follow. Because someone is angry at you, or because someone hates you, it doesn't necessarily follow that you have done something wrong. Jesus was hated by a lot of people. Jesus did not do anything wrong, you see. And therefore, again, I would simply say that we need to accept that this is the normal Christian life. We may go through periods where there's a lot of persecution and when there's less, but in the end, we preach the gospel, we try to live the gospel, and we will experience persecution. Jesus promised it. He didn't just say it might happen. He promised it would happen. All right. So we're not. It is not that we have done something wrong. All right. And the third thing that I would simply say is that we've got to have courage, a lot of courage, increasing courage in this day. I don't know if that's why the Lord has so strongly pruned the church, why we went from 80% going to Mass down to 30%. I don't know. I can't say here's exactly what God is doing and why He's done it. But He has allowed the church to become smaller. But I hope more intense. And I hope that He's purifying the church, because there are difficult days ahead. And perhaps the Lord has basically had to say that we're going to need to trim down and make sure that those who are in the ranks are really up for a battle. You remember the story of Gideon. He had an army of 30,000 to go up against an army of 60,000. And God said to him, your army is too large. Tell the cowards to go home. And so Gideon gathered his army and said, if any of you men do not think you're up for this battle, go home now, because it will be a difficult battle and I need a real army. Two-thirds went home. He's down to 10,000 men, and God said, your army is still too big. Send them to the river to drink and I will show you your army. Some of the men leisurely cupped water in their hands and lifted it to their mouth and drank, and others, like dogs, got down on all fours and lapped it up like dogs. And he said, "That's your army." 300 men. 300 men! And against an army of 60,000, and, said the Lord, "I will be with you." And that is, I think, a way for us to understand, you see, perhaps, that great courage is going to be required. And perhaps the Lord has needed to thin the ranks, I don't know. But I want to say to you, courage, speak the truth. Speak it in love. Please speak it in love. Don't go out and just try to strike up an argument or win an argument. That is not true evangelization. But true evangelization is to speak the truth in love. All right, but remember, the world has gone mad. There is persecution, and just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they are being thrown into a white hot furnace. But notice how it ends. Notice how it ends. It simply says here, they seem to be unharmed by this fire. So hot was the fire that the man who threw them in died doing it, and yet they are walking around in this fire freely. And it says, and he says, "My gosh," the king says, "Didn't you throw 3 men? Well, why do I see 4? And one of them looks like a son of God." A kind of a pre-incarnate vision of Christ in the Old Testament, all right? Please understand, we may be thrown into a white-hot furnace. You know, all, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, all 8 of us. We may be thrown into a white-hot furnace, but I want to assure you there are 9 of us in this fire. We're in the fire, and Jesus is with us, all right? So again, it will be all right. We may even suffer death, but in the end, it will be all right because, you see, the Lord is with us. So I simply want to just give you this kind of concern that I have, that as the world goes increasingly mad, becomes increasingly thin-skinned and angry at any protest to its behavior, as people begin to scream intolerance and try to sideline us with all kinds of protests, that we're not allowed to talk like that because it offends them and so on, and call us names and call us intolerant and call us reactionary and call us whatever they're going to call us, and increasingly excoriate us and set us up to therefore be gone against legally and ultimately, perhaps even through martyrdom, as that world maybe begins to come upon us, and I think it is, we will simply have to have courage. Do not accept the labels of the world. Have courage. Continue to preach Christ, and never, never forget that He promised this. You didn't do anything wrong. Amen.